We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I saw a tweet that was like, every family has that sister that thinks she's going to be a millionaire but has no plan. And I was like, fuck, that's me.
But that's called ambition.
I've never had a plan.
That's
I'm
called
just gonna manifest $1 million into my life.
you have a vision, and that's that's half the battle.
Welcome to the Holy Hour, a podcast about sex, relationships, mental health, and everything in between.
I'm Amelia Sanson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the Holy Hour. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Amelia Sanson.
And I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Ball So Hard.
You can also watch us on YouTube or listen ad-free on Patreon at patreon.com/theholyhour.
Check out our merch at theholyhour.com and email us your spicy stories at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
This is so weird. I think we've only done this once that we record far away from one another. For those that don't know, I'm in Florida because my dog gave us all a bit of a scare. He seemed really sick last week, so I flew over here to be with him while my parents are in England, and now he's making my life hell.
As he should.
As he should. He's earned it.
He's a diva. Yeah, he earned it. That's what I admire about him.
Me too. Girl boss.
the original girl boss.
Anyway, I miss you, Liz. It feels like it's been...
I miss you, too. It's been... It feels like 3 weeks, even though it has... No, 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been like 2.5 weeks because I was supposed to record with you last week and then I got the news about Ruff before I was going over. And then you and Mr. Liz, I started listening to the beginning of the episode. You guys are so funny.
He's such a unprofessional. I'm used to dealing with you and I was just like, oh my God.
You know, that's...
I'm about to fire him from the job.
I pay him under the table, so you appreciate me because I know how much of a mess I am to deal with.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's all about perspective, baby.
No, it's definitely much easier recording with you.
Well, that's great.
We have some fun stuff to talk about.
There's been a lot happening in the old media.
I want you to take the reins here. Because I'm excited to hear about what... I always love when you are like, I have a topic for you and I don't know what it's going to be.
Oh my God, because it's like Christmas.
It literally is.
Well, so, okay, the first topic was... Well, I was most excited to talk about this last week and then that obviously got derailed, but it's still happening. It's the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, their celebrity name is Trailer, which is the best celebrity name I've ever heard in my life.
I just don't care. Like, I don't really... When celebrities are dating, I'm like, that's fun. It's when they break up that I'm sad. Like, I don't really care if they're dating, but if things are going well and I admire them and then they, like, get divorced. Like, when Chris Pratt and Anna Faris got divorced before Chris Pratt became...
Nuts.
Yeah, before he had the Chris Prattification of Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
I was so bummed. I was like, oh, I loved them. Yeah. This is disappointing.
But you don't care when they're together.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's cute.
Oh, you don't invest anything into it.
Exactly. Also how I feel about the Kardashians. I'm like, I don't care. Like,
That's a healthy approach for celebrities. Good for you.
I do have a few controversial yet brave takes on Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. So I kind of think it's maybe lightly a PR thing. Because, and listen, PR couples, they still like each other, you know, they still enjoy like dating and stuff, but I think it's just not that serious. And Taylor Swift is at the peak of her career right now. Mm-hmm. So anything that is happening is like for other people to have their name associated with her is a positive, except for Joe Jonas.
Yeah.
Listen, when Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner announced their split, I was disappointed about that. And then now I'm even more disappointed that Joe Jonas is being a little bitch.
Yeah. Fuck.
But to refocus on Taylor Swift, she's just like the level of celebrity that she has accomplished is just larger than I think anyone can fully comprehend.
Oh, yeah.
Like the amount there. I saw someone say like there is no one who has heard of Travis Kelce that has not heard of Taylor Swift. Like, I didn't know who the fuck this guy was because I don't watch sports. So the annoying things that I see are like these little barstool bitch ass men complaining that, oh, I don't understand. Like, these girls are acting like Taylor Swift is better than Travis Kelce. And it's not that she's like better, it's she's more accomplished and successful. And no one knows that better than Travis Kelce.
Uh-huh.
Like, to, I saw another woman explaining it, for him to square up to the most unhinged and dedicated fan base and pursue a public relationship with Taylor Swift at the height of her career, he knows damn well he is not the one who's the most successful person in this relationship. And his jersey sales increased by 400%.
I saw that.
Insane. And I have seen the theory that when you look up Taylor Swift jets, it used to be her jet fuel emission. And now something completely different shows up. And it's kind of similar with Joe Jonas ring, because it used to be pictures of him not wearing his ring. And then now it's his ring camera, like Joe Jonas ring camera footage. And I haven't looked into that too much, but allegedly
that sounds messy.
I know. And I mean, at what point is that also just kind of like a PR move of like, oh, we need to change the SEO on this bit because it makes you look bad, you know?
Damn. So, yeah. I mean,
I think it's really fucking annoying that men are so bent out of shape about women like teasing them about like, it's so amazing that like no one knew who Travis Kelce was until now. And then I was telling Mr. Liz about that. We were talking about it. He actually brought it up to me. And then I was like, I thought about doing that to you. And he was like, I would have believed you because I don't know who that guy is. And it's,
but everybody knows who Taylor Swift is. And that's exactly the fucking point.
And it's not anything personal. And then like for these same exact guys to be the ones who are preaching their annoyance and frustration that women like don't understand their little hobbies and sports and interests and whatever, and then be upset when they finally are interested because now our interests are overlapping, and then they have a problem with it.
Well, it's because we're not interested in the way that they want us to be interested in it.
Yeah.
That's why.
And then they're also like, this is very good for the NFL too.
Oh, yeah. They're like playing into it. They changed their Twitter to NFL Taylor's version.
Yeah.
This is like all of the coverage.
She could
like
buy the NFL. Oh, and the men are so mad about it. The little football fans. And I this is just another moment where we need to sit here and like reflect and be like, is it that fucking serious? Because it's not. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just for fun. It's a fun little distraction from how much everything else sucks.
It's just a bunch of dudes throwing a ball around a field. They act like it's a fucking like we're like stomping on the flag. You know what I mean? The extent of the knowledge that I had about Travis Kelce before this moment was that dating show that he had.
Oh, he had a dating show?
Yeah, he had this show in like 2012 called Catching Kelce. And it was like he was like a bachelor and it was like a bunch of women trying to date him. That was the extent of the knowledge that I had. And then he has this segment. So his podcast is him and his brother. And they have a segment on the show called No Stupid Questions. And it's just like people get to just ask whatever question they want about football. Like, what is offsides? Like, what is how do you get a touchdown? What's a field goal?
That's so cute.
I know. And they just like they're not like, oh, what's a fucking touchdown? Like, they're just like, this is how you get a field goal. And they explain it. And like, this is the first time, at least in like modern history, that like girls that don't like football are able to sit next to their boyfriends and like
be interested
and like ask questions. And like the fact that Travis Kelce and his brother, I think his name's Jason, are like, they have this segment like No Stupid Questions, like they want people to get involved.
He like went out of his way to go to a Taylor Swift concert and make a bracelet with his number on it to try and like shoot his shot. And then, like, how could you not be a little endeared by that? Like, how could you not be like, oh my God, this, like, actually really hot football player is enthusiastic about pursuing me? And then I'm sure, like, he has a great personality to go along with it. Like, he seems very charismatic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it was obviously, like, well, Mr. Liz was also, when I was like, I think it might be a PR thing, he was like, absolutely not. Like, they walked in holding hands together. Like, and do you know what a big risk that is for someone to like pursue Taylor Swift like so publicly? And I was like, that's a very good point. Like, celebrities don't often like publicly announce their relationships until it's like established, you know?
Right.
They're not showing they're casually dating someone. So,
no. And like, it's a risk for him also that like, if this ends badly, like he's ruined, you know, because like, that's just how it goes. Like, Joe Alwyn her ex is being dragged now with all this Travis Kelce stuff, because like, Travis Kelce is like pursuing her, like in the public eye, he's like doing all of these things to get her attention. And like, Joe Alwyn said her name like a time the past like 7 years.
Yeah, they were very, very private about their relationship.
Right. And like, he's being like villainized now because like Travis Kelce is like doing all of this stuff like that like Joe never did. And that's just how it goes now with like, if you and Taylor Swift date, like you're kind of fucked afterward. Like, I don't think she has any public ex that anyone looks back on fondly.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, just kind of like, you know, going along with it for like the business is just not a good, like, not a good business plan for anybody. But who knows? I mean, everything is for the bottom line, even Miss Taylor Swift.
There are so many pluses for her in this situation. Well, and like, I think that her participation in kind of like the NFL scene now is obviously very good for the NFL, but I also think it's good for her because of her giant international tour.
Yeah.
And then I also think it's a positive because she like is liberal in a sense. Like, I know she's not as vocal, and I actually was reflecting on this because I was like, why doesn't she speak up more? And then I know in her documentary there's a scene where she's discussing with her parents and a few other people, like probably her publicists, about how she did want to take a stance against a Republican candidate running in, I can't remember if it was Tennessee, I think it was, and she got emotional about it because I think she has to realize her very influential impact on people and not want to interfere with that. So I like, in a way, like we do end up making it a celebrity's responsibility to like be declare their stance on politics, and I understand that a little bit, but then I also understand like not wanting that to be the focus of like your career. You know,
totally.
The amount of influence that she has, that is kind of scary. That's a scary amount of power to have. So at some extent, you want to be considerate and be like, not trying to convince people to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So I was thinking maybe like, I don't know if that's something that she considers when she is not being vocal about her stance on politics, because of the amount of influence she does have.
Yeah, probably.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Like, she has a whole team of people that whose responsibility is to make sure she doesn't misstep. And then, yeah, like, she has to, like, eventually make some decisions for herself, which it seems like she's taking on more control on, like, her decisions recently, just yeah, based on, like, how the Eras tour went. But, like, that's such a scary place to be, to, like...
Yeah, I can't imagine that amount of pressure and that amount of power and then this, like, level of responsibility that I've inherited because of my career, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, the only thing I do have to say that is a little critical is how she will sometimes use feminism as a way to be like, you can't bully me.
Does she do that?
Well, like the Georgia and Ginny line, sure, it was trite, it was boring and stupid, and I don't think that show is necessarily like good. They made like the stereotypical like Taylor Swift writing about her ex-boyfriend's joke, and then she went on Twitter to say something about it, and she almost never, isn't she like not very active on Twitter?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and then her fan base destroyed that show because she knows yeah, they're gonna do that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, she mobilizes.
I really just think her career is so interesting, and then just kind of having someone who has been like a successful celebrity most of their lives, like most of our childhoods and now into our adulthood, that's why the Eras Tour is so big, because she's amassed fans along the way. But then there are those of us who, you know, we're around the same age as her, so we've kind of grown up with her music, and then like hearing her re-record her songs as an adult is like, that's the thing that I think is so sentimental about it, because then it makes you remember like where you were at that time in your life when that song first came out and you were that age, and where you are now, and like talking to yourself again or like remembering that. I don't know, I think it's really lovely, and I yeah, think Eras is big for a reason.
Absolutely. Yeah, and her re-recording all of this too is like such like a cool thing to witness. Also,
oh,
like
yeah,
her, she's always wanted to own her music, and now she's kind of been strong-armed into doing it. And nobody's listening to the old versions mm-hmm, of her songs anymore, because fuck Scooter Braun. Mm-hmm. That was one of the bracelets I made for the Eras Tour. I had a fuck Scooter Braun bracelet, but I never got to give it to anyone, so I still have it. But truly, like, it's been so empowering. Like, when she announced the 1989 Taylor's version, she loves getting people involved, and it feels like she's having this renaissance of getting to do her career the way that she wants to. And I think that mm-hmm, that's also why this Travis Kelce thing is like so exciting, because it's like, this is he's not an actor and he's not a singer, and that's the only type of person she's ever dated, and British, like any flavor of Brit are like yeah, the three types of dudes that she's dated in the past. And now there's this like all American, like she's like,
I'm just,
you know,
like, how much time until like things end and then we see him on The Bachelor?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
So that's a great segue into my next topic.
ABC is doing a deal with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Oh, okay. We have an ABC transish.
Have you been hearing about The Golden Bachelor?
Lightly. I've been hearing that everybody loves the Bachelor himself.
He is.
I saw a preview and it was like very touching.
He's incredible. I watched it just kind of like, I had nothing else to watch. I was like, oh, it's on Hulu. I guess I'll turn it on. It's only an hour. So it's like a much smaller commitment than like the normal Bachelor franchise, which is like just too much. It's just too much television. But this
how long are the normal episodes?
2 hours.
They've made it 2 hours now? Oh my God.
Every episode is 2 hours. It's fucking absurd.
We're sick of their shit.
Yeah, but he is truly the greatest. He was married to his high school sweetheart for like 43 years and then she passed away unexpectedly and now he's like looking for love again. He like put his hearing aid in like in the first shot of the show. It's like a little rose gold hearing aid and he's just like a hunk and has just a heart of gold. He's a grandpa. He's hot.
I saw someone on TikTok explaining, they're like, I cannot watch this show anymore because if anything happens to this man, I'm going to be outraged.
I made a video today saying the same thing. I was like, if the producers fuck with this man, it's going to be on site. Because he was like crying in his intro. All of the women seem like incredible because they've had like all this life experience and like being petty is just like, you know, not. So I don't think it's going to, that's probably why they've shortened the episodes. There's not going to be like a whole lot of drama, I think, but who knows that it's The Bachelor and the producers are evil, evil people. But
I think shining a light on like people who are older than 30 is so, so good.
Yeah.
like how rarely do we see, well, especially older women, how rarely do we see older women in any form of media? We don't. And it's just like, yeah, women don't disappear after a certain age.
Well, we have MILF Manor.
I forgot about that. Oh my God.
I'm really excited for this. Art. Yeah, it really does. I'm really excited for this new show,
Chapter of the Bachelor.
Spin-off that they're doing. Yeah, because it just
I'll have to watch it.
Like you're saying, like we don't get to see older women in media. All of these women are like beautiful. Their facts on their page are like, has 3 degrees, like is a therapist. You know, it's like, it's different from like the like grew up wanting to be, you know, like a princess, ended up being a trust fund baby, you know what I mean? Like that, I feel like they don't give any substance to the women that are normally on The Bachelor, regardless of how interesting and like deep they actually are. They like portray them as these like bimbos, but now like how we're seeing these women be talked about, I think like The Bachelor franchise is actually listening to what people want, which is
it's like, to what extent are you listening to? Well, because I mean, what we see in media is going to start reflecting what's happening in real life. And I think that what's happening in real life is women are just like, yeah, I don't want to deal with that shit. And I'd rather be single than date someone who is like this.
Yeah. Yeah, truly.
And The Bachelor is getting on board.
Yeah, I mean, fucking finally. It's going to be interesting to see how reality shows change over time. Have you heard about all this, like, the lawsuit with Love is Blind that's happening right now?
Oh, isn't it like, I don't know a ton about it, but aren't they like suing them because everyone was like hammered the entire time? Like they're feeding them alcohol, essentially.
Yeah, they don't have access to like filtered water. They have like tap water and that's it. They said if you want to drink out of the faucet or the shower, that's like the only way that you can get water. There's no windows, so you don't know what time it is. There's like not a lot of food available, but there's a ton of alcohol. And they like mega manufacture what goes on. One of the guys that's suing, his wife was like really sick when they went to Mexico for their honeymoon. And she tested negative for COVID. She was feeling better, but they were like, you might test positive tomorrow. You have to stay in the hotel room. And then they manufactured all this drama between them. And he was like, I want like that. He pointed. He was like, that's when I wanted to stop filming. Like they manufacture this after psychologically breaking you down.
That. Yeah, they like moved around the clips to make it look like she's just like, I don't want to come out. But she's like sick.
Yeah. And that's why they drink out of those metal cups. Because
I honestly didn't watch any of the
okay, well they drink out of these metal cups that you can't see through them, and the reason they do that is because they switch around the clips so much that if the drinks are at different levels it's obvious, so that way you can't see.
Oh my god,
isn't that fucked up?
That's disgusting.
I know. So anyway, these two guys that were on it are suing, and they're pushing for there being mental health professionals on these sets, which is bonkers that they don't already have that, because mm-hmm. these people, like when they go on The Bachelor, they like let them bring like a book and that's it, and then they're forced to stay in this house and all that they can do all day is think about the person that they're dating, and they break them down.
This is actually so interesting because I listened to a podcast, I can't remember the name of it right now. There's multiple like seasons and whatever of it. Like they do a bunch of different stories and then sometimes it'll be a series. So the series I listened to is called Boy Gone Wild. And it was all about the Girls Gone Wild guy and how he started that. And that kind of like launched reality TV because it showed like how in a reality TV show you don't have to pay the talent as much as you would in like a scripted show. And they weren't paying these girls in Girls Gone Wild. And it was also like incredibly predatory. It was disgusting. And the guy who started it is obviously a piece of shit, disgusting human who is actually like, there's a warrant out for him and he's like hiding away in Mexico and he's like best friends with the fucking Kardashians. It's so honestly, if you guys are listening, listen to Boy Gone Wild, because the whole story of this man is so interesting. And it's called Boy Gone Wild because they start with he like fucked with someone's daughter. So after this kind of like era of Girls Gone Wild, you know, he's in his fucking mansion, whatever, someone breaks into his home. And this man was like a hitman, like hired to do this. Breaks into his home, is waiting for him to come home, tapes him up, like ties this man up, holds him at gunpoint, and then has a camera pointed at him. And he like takes this like dildo out of it was in the guy's home. So he takes it out and insinuates that he's going to fuck him with this, but he doesn't. He like puts it on top of him. He is recording him and he's like, say I'm whatever his name is, and I'm a boy gone wild. And the whole thing was like to break in and steal these old tapes, because they document a lot of like just predatory things that are said and done to these girls. So that's what he did. He didn't break in to hurt him. He just broke in to fuck him up. But I do really like the guy who broke in and is explaining. He ended up getting caught, obviously, and like went to jail. And he's like, well, I had a gun. And like when you have a gun, you are prepared to kill somebody if you have to. Like,
yeah,
that's the only reason you should have one.
Right.
I was like, okay, thank you for saying the quiet part loud.
Uh-huh.
Like, thank you for actually like acknowledging that.
Yeah.
God, I mean, obviously someone story. Who like works for the fucking mafia is gonna. Do you want to hear my fun little factoid?
I do, more than anything.
So I saw a TikTok where this girl, I can't remember the whole premise of what she was saying, but she explained that only like 20% of people have self-awareness. And then I was telling Mr. Liz that, and he's like, where'd you get that information? And I was like, TikTok, so it's not really like a reliable source. So he looked it up and he found this article by Harvard Business Review. And the person who wrote the article, their research team did this, they conducted this like, not experiment, I don't know, not like a survey. Anyways, they had 5,000 people participating in their like research project, study. Essentially. Yeah, study. There we go. Big words. And the statistics are actually even lower. So somewhere between 10 and 15% are the amount of people who are actually self-aware. But 95% of people think they are self-aware, which is hilarious. So fucking funny. And then you can't help but like reflect and be like, am I self-aware?
Because, well,
like,
yeah, how do they measure that?
So I mean, that's why the fluctuation is between 10 and 15%, and like 5,000 people is a pretty big sample size.
Yeah.
And they tied the article back to leadership, so I think they might have conducted this within businesses specifically, but their studies show that the higher up you are in management, the less self-awareness you have. And that makes sense. And also, like, how often am I like talking shit about CEOs and executives? Like, I hate the corporate life. But yeah, so I mean, it makes sense, because the higher up you go, like, the more people you are overseeing and the more uncomfortable people are going to be with giving you feedback, because they're afraid of retaliation. They're afraid they're going to lose their jobs. So you're less likely to have any feedback from them delivered to you. So that's one thing that I did appreciate about the job that we had previously, is like, your reviews are not determined on just your manager's insight, because they're not the ones working with you on a day to day.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, they're not. Realistically, they should be letting you do your fucking job, because they have their own job to do. Mm-hmm. They're not going to sit there and hover over you. So we would have our peers review us, and then we would also review our managers. And then our managers also reviewed us. So it creates a more level playing field for what you need to work on as a supervisor. And it also shows, like, so the higher up you go, the more experience you have. And since you are higher up in a role, you're like, well, I must be doing something right, so I know everything. And I also think it's a good point. Like, you don't have the awareness of your own management style because you're not being managed by you. Does that make sense? Like, the people who are going to have the best insight into how you manage are the people you manage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not the person above you. That person's not being managed by you.
No. And they're also, they should be a certain amount removed from what you're doing. That's why whenever my old boss would try to tell me like I wasn't doing something well, I'm like, you pay no attention. Yeah. There's less checks and balances going as you get further to, like, as you get closer to the top. So they,
I mean,
you know,
that's also why that's
yes men.
That structure doesn't work, you know, kind of like a pyramid where you have one person at the top and then like, it's like an MLM.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, hence pyramid scheme. Anyways, I thought that was really interesting. And then another piece that they included was the best way that you can become self-aware. And in this terms, it's like, you know, talking about in the workplace and listening to like feedback. But they said like the best way to approach that and see changes is to have loving critics. So people who aren't afraid to tell you the truth, but also have your best interest in mind. And I think like that's so important to have in friendships as well. Because don't you see that play out in friendships sometimes? Like maybe less often as an adult, but there's always people who have like drama in their friend group. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, you fight with your friends?
Yeah.
That would make me physically ill.
I know. Whenever I meet adults that have friend group drama. I'm like, how do you have the time in the day to like care about this? You know, and as you get older, you start weeding people out more and more, like, or that's at least how it's supposed to go.
There's people like that all the time, though. And I think that is crazy. I mean, you see it because, like, how this large percentage of the population, like 80% of people, and that's being generous. That's, I mean, I guess that would mean like 20%. You know what? I can't do math. So 85% of people have no self-awareness.
Yeah.
And that's on the generous end of things. Like, we see that they live among us.
Yeah.
And then also, you're always going to have blind spots to your own personality. And that always, like, if I get too high and think about that too much, it freaks me out. Because I'm like, how much do I not know about myself that other people know about me?
But that alone is such a self-aware thought, though. Like, the people that aren't self-aware are, like, thinking that.
Oh, yeah, they're not thinking about that.
They're not thinking about that. They're like, you know, I'm the one that's right because I'm so self-aware. Like, I'm always right and everybody else is always wrong because I have a certain level of self-awareness. And that is zero self-awareness.
Yeah.
And there are so many people.
Well, not everyone's gonna like me and I don't want them to.
Yeah. It's like, okay, Jan. Sure. It drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. The people that are always like, you know, they send like a litany of things that like someone did that was wrong, and it's, you know, the same story over and over again in every friendship, and it's like, you have to look at the common denominator here.
You don't think that's not you? Yeah. Like,
and that sucks. Obviously, that's hard to see, especially when somebody so badly wants friendships to work, you know? Mm-hmm. But then there are the people that are like, well, fuck, I'm right. And like, same with like romantic relationships. When romantic relationships are always falling apart catastrophically, it's like, you need to have the self-awareness to be like, okay, what am I doing in this situation? And a lot of people have that. I mean, not as many as we thought, clearly, but like, a lot, like, I think, you know, a good chunk of people that I know have that, but also like a good chunk of people that I know don't, and they're not able to identify that like they're the issue. And you can't tell. I mean, like, I would love to be able to just be like, yeah, it's like, you're
can we look at the data here? Let's look at some data and think about it as data. Don't think about it as like a personal attack, you know? I don't know. It's not a personal attack. Let's just look at some common themes in the different relationships in your life, and when you put it into that perspective, you can start to analyze like, oh, I react in this certain way that isn't beneficial to me. But I mean, that's also just scraping the surface, you know?
Yeah.
We're designed to constantly be protecting ourselves, which includes protecting ourselves from bad feelings. And bad feelings come from shame. And we feel shame when we know we've done something that probably wasn't handled in the best way or was harmful to another person. And when we're confronted with that information, we're just like, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. I am the victim.
Yeah. And I mean, like, trauma plays a huge part in that too. A lot of people will shut down and like not have that piece of themselves, not be able to like look outward at all or inward at all as a way to protect themselves from feeling a type of way, like you're saying, like feeling a negative emotion, because they're like psychologically and like not on purpose. What's the word I'm looking for? Not on purpose. What's that word?
Unintentional?
No, like, you know when you breathe and you're not doing it on purpose? That's
unconscious?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I know what word you're looking for, and it won't, I bet when we hang up is when I will remember it.
Fucking tip of my tongue, it's driving me nuts. But
involuntary. I've been a word rememberer lately. I did the same thing with Mr. Liz the other day when he was trying to like write something for work, and he's like, what is this word? I can't think of it. And then like 2 seconds later or a few minutes later, I was driving and he was like talking to me about something, and then I said the word. I was like, amplify. He's like, yes, that's the word.
That's so funny. You know what pisses me off is when I can't remember a word and I like try so hard to remember it, and then I finally do, and then I hear the word like on TV like 10 minutes later. I'm like,
you're like,
if I would have just waited. And not put myself through so much of that. Yeah, it would have.
You know what? My life hack is going to thesaurus.com and typing in a word that is similar to what I'm looking for, and just kind of like keep. If I can't figure it out, I just keep going and like it's searching the only way different to do it. Words. It is really helpful. Anyways, the self-awareness conversation.
Yeah.
I thought that was so interesting. Well, and you have to consider older generations. Like, they don't have any fucking self-awareness. And we know a lot of it is lead poisoning and, like, and the silent generation fucking sucked. And, like, they needed commercial reminders to, like, be nice to their kids because their lead poisoning was even worse.
But they were also, that's crazy, Liz. But that's
you know I'm right.
No.
Well, and, like, to an extent, like, there's less and less lead poisoning, but like everything had lead in it.
Mm-hmm. They were in a time where like they weren't being encouraged to think deeply about any of their emotions. Like
that's true. Like, they were like, bury it down.
Yeah.
We've been especially, dying from war and famine and you don't know when your kids are going to die. Like,
and like going to therapy
exists in books.
Like only like the sickest of the sick went to therapy, know, like, and like,
and it was sometimes they would rather be like, let's give them a lobotomy before we do anything else.
Yeah, right. So it's like, I think that just like a lack of self-awareness was kind of drilled into them. You know, they were like,
yeah, for protective measures.
Yeah. And because like for protective measures and like, you know, for like the shame, like you were talking about, you
and
know,
now
like
they're in charge of stuff, which is terrible for us.
They're starting to die.
I mean,
they're starting to die off. Also, yeah, Mitch McConnell.
We're watching Mitch McConnell sundown like every other week. It's giving elder abuse. Like,
oh yeah,
this is absolutely elder abuse in a political platform.
Yeah,
it's obscene because they're like, this person has no idea what's going on, so we can push our agenda through, and they already have this position.
I am loving this younger generation that's like coming into House and Senate. I think that she's a House representative. Her last name is Crockett. She, with like the Biden impeachment conversations that are going on, she just like flamed everyone in such like a perfect way, you know? And it's like, she just like didn't hold back. She said the word shitter. Like, she was just like, no, we're not playing nice anymore. Like, y'all are fucking ridiculous. Like, get back to your fucking jobs. And it was incredible to, like, we need more of that energy. We don't need people, like, glitching out on the stand when somebody asks a question, you know?
Oh, Jasmine Crockett.
Ugh.
She does not fuck around. Like,
no.
She just goes all in.
Yeah, like, she really
I'm
does.
I'm so glad she's getting more and more attention, too. Because
Me too.
She does not stutter. Literally,
hold on.
She does not stutter. I
hold
hear
on one
him.
Second. No.
What does he want?
It's a great question, Liz.
That's how I feel about Grandpa.
Yeah, I think he just realized he hasn't been perceived.
Like,
yeah.
Where is he? Oh, he's laying on the couch right now.
I'm truly amazed that he stayed quiet for 50 minutes because every night has been this. It's
I was sitting next to you and be like,
yeah, and I'm like, What? Every single night. I swear, if anybody can hear through the walls, they're like, this woman hates her dog. I love him more than anything in the world, but he's driving me up a fucking wall.
I woke him up. He knew I was talking about him.
Well, should we wrap?
He's
because
right
this, is,
me.
This is about to get kind of screamy in here.
My one last thought, and I don't think this is, I'm not trying to point fingers at like younger generations. Like, we're all learning and growing all of the time, and I think that's important, and we need to give people space to do that and forgive people when they realize like the mistakes that they've made. Otherwise people aren't going to have the motivation to want to change and learn and be different. So seeing the lack of self-awareness over time is, it shows up in new ways, like people who do weaponize therapy speak and they continue to just mull over like past traumas and issues and not grow from them. Sorry, he's purring into the microphone.
Yeah, he's agreeing with you.
But I do think it's important to like, even like when you do choose to quote unquote do the work, like there is still going to be a subset of even those people who are not actually doing the work. They're just learning the words.
That's the thing. People logicize their emotions in a way that's just easy to explain away. And
yes.
then they think that that means that they're self-aware. And it yeah. doesn't, that's not where
the work, understanding the work your feelings and where your trauma comes from is great. That is only the first step, though.
Yeah.
Because you can't use those explanations as like a way to justify doing something that hurts other people or maybe right. sucks. And you need to take it to the next step and be like, okay, now that I'm aware of this, when can I stop this reaction in the moment and respond differently? Because that is going to be the only way that you can grow.
That's absolutely bonkers to me, and also not surprising at all that the number is so low of people.
I hope it increases, and it'll be interesting to see if they
I'm gonna mute myself. Finish your thought.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how it changes over time. Like, I hope the number increases over time. I hope more and more people become self-aware. Yeah, Amelia's dog is barking, and we've been recording for 55 minutes. So
he's decided that this episode is done. Okay, can you let me sing my song? Maybe you can sing with us.
Should he sing us out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him to help.
All right. We love you,
our children. There it is.
All right. He says, thanks for listening.
He's like, I'm starting a podcast. Ruffin and Grandpa can start a podcast together.
It could be a podcast, P-A-W.
Ooh, I love that.